I've shared some before in various settings, different times, about some of my experiences when I was a kid growing up, times when they were very rough for my family after my parents lost their farm. And I was thinking some this past week about how, even though that keeps getting longer and longer ago, it still, in some ways, has an effect on my life even today. I was thinking about how when I was a kid, if something broke, stopped working, we did without. We lived for several years without a water heater for that reason. Quit working, needed replaced, and it couldn't be done. There was no money to do it. That was the case pretty much any time something came up where money was needed. It was a catastrophe because this was not available. So when I grew up, I got a job, was out on my own, I was determined that my life was going to be different. And so I got a job, and it was, it paid enough to live okay. But I maybe went to some extremes to live as cheaply as possible, to save as much as I could. There was a while that there was a guy was staying with me while he and his wife were working out some marriage problems. And I'm pretty sure I at least helped temporarily to get that reconciliation process moving, because he could not stand how cold I kept that little rental house in the winter. After living with me for a couple of weeks, he decided his wife wasn't so bad. And so I had this amount in mind. If I could save up to this amount, try to maintain about that much savings, when things would come up where money was needed, it wouldn't be a catastrophe. And so by scrimping and saving through some people's teasing about how cheap I was, I achieved that. I was able to save up to that amount. It wasn't a huge amount by any means, but it was enough that when something breaks, it's not a catastrophe. Gives a little bit of a feeling of security. Just have a little bit of savings. The other day, I came across something that made me feel a little less secure. It's called an inflation calculator. And I, out of curiosity, put in some numbers. It was about 14 years ago that I achieved that goal that I was going for. 14 years later, that amount of money is worth 30% less than it was. That's pretty significant. 30%. So I've lost money by saving money. Just by it sitting there, you lose it through inflation. Now, I think that's a good example of why money is a terrible thing to hope in. But at least we can depend on the government, right? We can depend on the government to be there for us when things go wrong and to help us out. Or for more inflation, probably more so. Government's so dependable, isn't it? Well, someone gave these figures about how dependable our government is. This was actually 9 years ago that these figures were given to pay back the national debt. $1 per second. As if you're counting out the money to pay back the national debt. $1 trillion, $2 trillion, $3 trillion. So that's $3,600 per hour. It would take 504,000 years to pay back the national debt. 504,000 years at $1 a second. And that was 9 years ago. It's much higher than that now. Can you imagine? I think it's becoming more clear all the time that there is no human government that's a good place to put our hope. It's a good place to trust in, a good place to look for our security a good place for a secure investment. And by saving money, you still lose money. So is there anything that we can invest in? Is there anything that we can trust in or hope in that has some security? Is there anything that we can depend on and know that if we invest in that, we won't lose it? Is there anything? There is. There is, and it is what Jesus tells us about next in the Sermon on the Mount. Well, this is the same sermon that Jesus has been preaching that we've been looking at for a while now. It's kind of amazing to think how this one sermon Jesus preached took him months to get through, apparently. So that's how long it's taking us. But this is the same context of what we've been looking at. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, your life should be different. That is the big context, the main point of this message. If you follow Jesus Christ, your life should be different. Your life should be very different from those who are merely religious. There are a lot of religious people in this world doing a lot of religious things. If you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you ought to be different than those who are merely religious. Even those who are very religious, like the Pharisees. No one could beat them in being religious, but Jesus used them as an example. They're wrong. Don't follow their steps. You ought to be very different. Very different from those who live by the principles of this world. Don't follow that path. If God is your Father, you are to be very different. And Jesus has been giving us several different areas of examples of how that should be true for us. And today, probably for the next couple of weeks, we'll be looking at how we should be different in relation to money and earthly material things. The things that we treasure and where we keep our treasure should be very different from the rest of the world if God is our Father. So we're looking this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. We're actually going to start at the end of those verses this morning, and we'll go back to the beginning. I believe the main point, the most significant part of this section of verses this time is emphasized by putting it at the end of this thought. Verse 21, where we're forced to ask the question, where is my heart? Where is my heart? That is the root issue that all of this really comes down to. Where is your heart? How we use our money, how we use our possessions, whatever we value most. It's a matter of where your heart is. Or where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Another way that could be read, for where your treasure is, there's your heart. Where your treasure is, that's where you're going to find your heart is. And when Jesus refers to the heart in these verses, he obviously is not merely speaking of that blood pumping muscle we have in our chest. He means, as Kent Hughes put it, the whole inner man, the core of our total being, the wellspring of all we do. The source of everything you do, that's your heart. So it has to do with our motives, or why we do what we do. It has to do with what we love, what we desire, what we worship, what we live for. That comes from your heart. The last section that we looked at in the Sermon on the Mount went from verse 1 through verse 18 was primarily about our motives. That we are not to do the good things that should be done for the wrong reasons, to be seen by men. So don't give to the poor, don't pray, don't fast to be seen by others to impress them. Those are things that ought to be done, to give to the poor, to pray, to fast, but not for the purpose of being seen by others to impress them. And that's a matter of where our hearts are. Is it more important to you to be thought well of by people or to please God? What's your priority? What's your motive? Is your heart centered on man and on yourself and on the here and now things of this world? Or is your heart set on God and eternity? Is the focus of your worship what you live for? Is it something or someone on this earth? Or is it focused on God in heaven? Well, in the verses that we're looking at today, Matthew 6, 19 through 21, we have a mirror held up in front of us to help us see where our hearts are. And that mirror is, what do you treasure? And what do you do with your treasures? As we look into that mirror, it reflects back to us and shows us where our hearts are. What do you treasure and what do you do with your treasures? That will be a pretty good indicator of where your heart is in relation to God. And where your heart is in relation to God is really the most important thing about you. Now, these verses talk about our investments. It talks about our treasures, things that are valuable, but where your heart is in relation to God is the most important thing about you. Our treasures are a secondary issue. Where is your heart? What do you worship? Who is your master? Who or what do you live for? Those things are ultimate. So what does your treasure and where your treasure is say about where your heart is? As you think about that, now let's go back to the beginning of this section, verse 19. Look into this mirror. It will show you where your heart is. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. If we do store up for ourselves treasures on earth, that tells us something about where our hearts are. It tells us that our hearts are tied to this earth. And that should not be the case for those who follow Jesus and have God as their Father. If God is your Father, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth. What kind of treasures are we talking about here? Is this just something for rich people? Because I was thinking, I don't really know of much of any gold that I have. I think my wife's ring is about the only gold we have. Jewels, same place. Spanish doubloons, I don't have a single one. Not a very good pirate, I don't have any treasure chests. What treasure are we talking about here? Is this something we just send off to Hollywood, to those who are really rich, let them deal with it, we can move on to something else? Well, no, obviously, hopefully it's obvious. You remember who Jesus was talking to that day on the side of that hill? You remember the condition of those people in that day who Jesus was talking to? Most of them, if not all of them, were very poor. By our standards, by every one of us here today, by our standards, they were very poor. But everybody treasures something. Everybody has something that they treasure. It could be something that they don't have but desperately want that they treasure. It may not even be a thing. It could be a reputation. It could be power, popularity. It could be other people. Someone's family can be their treasure. It can be material possessions besides money. It could be houses, vehicles, a business, a farm, animals, clothes. Could be our time that we treasure. Could be a lot of different things. There's something that's highly valued. We all have something that we highly value. What does your heart highly value? Whatever it is, Jesus says, don't store it up on this earth. Now, to be clear and keep this in the right balance and perspective as we go through this, this is not forbidding Christians from having possessions. Jesus is not saying it's wrong for you to have possessions or some money in the bank. The Bible says, in places like 2 Corinthians 12:14, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, that we should be able to provide for our families. It takes money to do that. It's not wrong to have some. There are even examples of godly people in the Bible with significant wealth. So it's not necessarily wrong. It's not necessarily a problem. What is wrong, or when it becomes wrong, is when we love those possessions or that money in the bank. When we love it so that it becomes more important to us than our relationship with God. More important to us than things that are eternal. More important to us than the kingdom of our God. It's a problem, or becomes a problem, when we live for or serve our possessions. Or even if they're a distraction to us from our relationship with God, from the things that are most important. That's when possessions or money becomes a problem. And if we're honest, it's often a problem. It's often a distraction. It's often something that we care too much about. Paul says in 1 Timothy 6:10, "For the love of money is a root of all sorts of evil. And some, by longing for it, have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs." That is so true. We've probably seen it happen. We may know of people that has happened to, that by their love of money, they've wandered from the faith and their life has been a terrible slide ever since. The money in itself is neutral. Possessions in themselves, neutral. It's the love of money or possessions that is the root of all sorts of evil. Money can be used for good. Some money is necessary for survival. It's loving money that's the problem. Love for money tells us that our hearts are tied to this earth. If we love money, it tells us that our hearts are in the wrong place. That's a problem. It is spiritually wrong for us to love money and to store up treasure on earth. It's wrong. It's wrong for us to have our hearts tied down here to this earth by ordering our lives around our earthly treasure, whatever it is. It's wrong. Spending our lives, our energy, trying to pile it up here on earth. It's wrong. Jesus is so gracious that he doesn't just tell us to not do it. He doesn't just tell us it's wrong, but he graciously goes further and even explains why it's a really bad idea. It's not just wrong, it's also a really bad idea. Look at the rest of verse 19. It says, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." It's a bad idea for us to set our affections on the things of this earth, to give ourselves to piling up, storing the things that we treasure on this earth, Jesus says, because they won't last. In the first century, it was true a lot of other times as well outside of the first century, but clothes were highly valued. They didn't give away t-shirts at festivals and games and things in that day. Clothes were highly valued, very expensive. A while ago, we talked some about how there were even laws in Scripture about when it was okay and when it wasn't okay to take a part of a person's wardrobe as a pledge. Some of it, if you took it as a pledge, you had to return it before nighttime because they needed it to be able to survive. And clothes were sometimes part of an inheritance that would be passed down from generation to generation. They're so valuable, so needed. The more wealthy a person was, the fancier their clothes were. If someone who wasn't wealthy had an opportunity to get some nice clothes, they treasured those things. They took care of those things. The Pharisees put a lot of emphasis on how they looked, on what they wore. They wanted to dress in a way that would make them look spiritual and to make it look like those around them, that because they were so spiritual, God had blessed them. Look at me. Look at how I dress. Isn't it impressive? But it only took one moth and a little bit of time to completely destroy that prized garment and make it worthless. That kind of treasure is fragile. It will not last. Don't put your treasure in the clothes. Well, maybe we could think of something more sturdy. Maybe there's something a little stronger that we could trust in, invest in, that would last. Your clothes won't do it. Maybe something that's made of metal. Yeah, that's stronger. Is there something made of metal we could think of that we could invest in? I've been browsing a little lately at vehicles. As our family grows, it'd be nice if our vehicle would grow too. Doesn't seem to be. I've seen a lot of rust. Rust buckets that people want a lot of money for. But I was thinking some of those vehicles are not all that old. And it wasn't all that long ago that somebody spent a lot of money or got a really big loan to buy that vehicle that is now being eaten away by rust. The Greek word there just simply means eating. Things get destroyed by moths and things get destroyed by eating. Rust is one thing that eats. It eats metal. Wood gets eaten by termites and by rot. Grain can get eaten by bacteria and mold. Whatever it is we can think of, somehow it can be easily eaten away if we're storing it on this earth. If it's not ruined by moths or by rust, it may get stolen. If we succeed in protecting it from those other elements, it could still get stolen. It's not at all beyond the realms of possibility that there are people in this world, maybe not all that far away from us, who treasure your treasures even more than you do. And they want them, and they are not above taking them because they're there and they want them. And they think they can get away with it, and they often do. So let's take it. There is no investment that we can make on this earth that is secure, that is trustworthy, that will endure. Besides that, we're all going to die someday. Or Jesus is going to come back and take those who are his back to heaven with him. Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 7, "For we have brought nothing into the world, so we cannot take anything out of it either." We didn't bring anything with us. We're going to leave soon, and we're not taking anything with us. Everything we have stays here. And Peter tells us in 2 Peter 3:10, "The day is coming that everything that gets left behind is going to burn." It's all going to burn up. That's a bad investment, to put all that we have, all of our energy, all of our efforts into things that are going to stay here and they're going to burn or get eaten by moths or rust or stolen. So what are we supposed to do with our treasures? If we have money, we have possessions, we have time and abilities, whatever it is that we treasure, we have things that are of some value. So what are we supposed to do with them? Piling them up on this earth is a bad investment because it will not last. So what do we do? Verse 20. "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in or steal. That's the best investment advice in the universe. Store up treasures in heaven, because they are secure there. Moths will not destroy anything in heaven. Rust is not an issue in heaven, and there are no thieves there. Isn't that an amazing thought? Have you ever thought about the fact that when you get to heaven, if you're a believer in Jesus Christ alone, you will not have to carry a single key in your pocket. Nothing will have to be locked. The door locks, you know, we always say and hear that, well, they keep the honest thieves out. They're not all that secure. Basically, they just keep us out of our own things and that we want to get into. It's a pain. Won't that be nice in heaven to not have to mess with locks and keys? Because there are no thieves there. The smart thing to do, Jesus says, the right thing and the smart thing, is to send our treasures on ahead of us to be stored in heaven. Now, how do we do that? Well, think about, what can you do? What can you do, and how can you use what you have for something that lasts forever? That's what we're talking about here. What can you do? How can you use the things you have on something that will last forever? What lasts forever? People do. God's kingdom lasts forever. God's glory lasts forever. Those are some ways we can store up treasure in heaven if we are investing in those types of things, those things that last forever. So things like the proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ, so souls that are lost can be saved for the glory of God. That's something we can do, something we can use our resources for that will last forever. Discipling of believers. So there are more mature believers who are serving for the glory of the Lord and proclaiming the gospel for the glory of the Lord. That lasts forever. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 17 through 19, Paul gives some instructions to rich people. And again, we can't turn the page and say, well, that doesn't apply to me. All of us, by the standards of that day, we're all rich people. So Paul is talking to us. He tells Timothy to instruct those rich people at Grace Bible Church in Morrill. Instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. He's saying the same thing there Jesus says, Matthew 6, verse 19. Don't store up your treasures on this earth. Don't put your trust, don't hope in riches of this earth. And don't be conceited. Don't be arrogant and think, look how great I've done for myself. Look at all these things I've been able to accomplish and amass for myself. Don't think that way. What are we to do instead? Not be conceited or fix our hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. Where is our hope to be fixed? On God. How do we have all the things, the resources that we have? God gave them to us. By His grace, He gave them to us to enjoy. But He gave them. They all belong to Him. In verse 18, this is how we store up treasures in heaven. Instructing them to do good. To be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share. Verse 19, storing up for themselves the treasure of a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is life indeed. And so you think through those verses, Paul says, teach those rich people to not trust in money. Don't hope in earthly things. They will disappoint you. They will not last. Hope in God. Realize everything you have comes from God. And then use the things you have to store up treasures in heaven. And how do we do that? Again, he says, do good. Use the resources you have to do that which is truly eternally good. Be rich in good works. Use the resources you have to do as many good works for the glory of God as you can. Remember the being a light to this world that we looked at in the Sermon on the Mount. Shine as lights so that they may see your good works and glorify your God who is in heaven. Use your resources however you can to do good works, to shine the light on God, our Lord Jesus Christ. Be generous, ready to share. It says, use your resources that you have in this earth, that God has given to you, to give to those who are in need, to give toward needs that will help to further God's kingdom and God's glory. That's how we store up treasure in heaven. The commentator John Stott gives these examples of how we do that. Store up those treasures in heaven. He says, by the development of Christ-like character, since all we can take with us to heaven is ourselves. We're going to store up treasure in heaven. Use your resources to help yourself grow in Christ-like character, to become more like Christ. What do you need to do that? Figure it out and use your resources to do it. You know, buy a book to read, to help you understand God's Word. Buy that book. Go to a conference. What do you need to be more like Christ? Invest in that. Next one, the increase of faith, hope, and charity, all of which Paul said abide. 1 Corinthians 13, faith, hope, and love. These three abide. They last. Use your resources to grow in faith, hope, and love. He says, growth in the knowledge of Christ, whom one day we shall see face to face. Use your resources to get to know Jesus Christ better. Somehow, to know Christ better, that's worth using your resources for. The active endeavor by prayer and witness to introduce others to Christ so that they too may inherit eternal life. We store up treasures in heaven by using our resources to get the gospel to the world. He says, in the use of our money for Christian causes, which is the only investment whose dividends are everlasting. That's how we store up treasures in heaven. Use our resources for things that are eternal. It's not just the right thing to do, it's the wise thing to do. Everything we store up here on this earth is going to waste away or get stolen or burn up. And we may see others who have more. We may envy them for the bigger pile of stuff that they have on this earth. But do you know what they really have? They have a bigger pile of kindling. That's all it is. It's going to burn. Just like everything we have. It's all going to burn. So we should use what we have for something that will last. That makes sense when you think about it. If we're going to be wise investors, we ought to be storing our treasures in heaven instead of on earth. Now think about the intensity through which we and others have acquired our treasures. You think about the long, hard hours you have worked at your job, day after day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year for that paycheck. All that time and effort you've put into getting that paycheck. You think about the long, hard hours of training or schooling that many have gone through to get the credentials, to get themselves into a better position to be able to improve their paycheck. We may spend time to make budgets and to make plans to be able to achieve our earthly goals for earthly treasure. We may scrimp and save and shop around for the best deals so we can accumulate stuff on this earth. You think further about if you had a goal to buy a certain car, the car of your dreams, what lengths would you go to save up for that car or that trip or that house? Or maybe you've gotten it. Maybe you got that car of your dreams or that trip of a lifetime or that house that you've always wanted. What did you do to acquire it? Well, shouldn't we be willing with at least that much intensity and drive, work and study and train and budget and plan and scrimp and save to be able to store up as much treasure in heaven as we possibly can? Wouldn't that make sense? If we'll do it for the things of this earth, shouldn't we do it even more so for treasure in heaven? That treasure will last forever. But doesn't it make sense to use the resources we have and maybe even desire more resources so we can store up more treasure in heaven? We should want that account to be overflowing because that treasure will last forever. And where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, as we think about your treasures, you think about where you're storing your treasures. Where do these verses show you your heart is? By where you're keeping your treasures. If you look into this mirror, what does it say about you? Where's your heart? What's where you're storing your treasure? And that is very important to consider. Very important to think about. Where does this show me my heart is? As we go from here today, I'd encourage you to not leave this behind. Don't leave this in the seat you're sitting and take it with you. Keep looking at this mirror. What do you treasure? Where are you keeping your treasures? Wherever it is, that's where your heart is. We need to pray about that. We need to do some thinking, some meditating, and praying about that.